the contest hits the home stretch, both campaigns are targeting key states. I'm Pam Husso, Fox News. He won Wisconsin in 2016, and President Trump is hoping to keep it in his column this time around. He's expected in Janesville later today, despite warnings from federal health officials.
President Trump set to hold a rally in Wisconsin today, despite his own White House coronavirus task force telling the state this week that residents need to avoid crowds in public and social gatherings in private unless they want to cause preventable deaths. The task force saying Wisconsin is in the red zone, fourth in the nation for new COVID-19 cases per population.
Fox says John Decker, yesterday the president was in Florida and Georgia.
We will create 3 million new jobs for black Americans, increase access to capital, restore safety to every neighborhood.
The president's Democratic challenger, Joe Biden, was in Michigan yesterday, where he continued to blast the president over his handling of the virus.
I have a plan to deal with the pandemic responsibly. New testing, tracing, masking, not politicizing the race for vaccine.
The former vice president also responding to the latest allegations surrounding his son Hunter, calling a story in the New York Post a smear campaign. The paper alleges that Hunter Biden's emails demonstrate that he made millions of dollars as a result of his dad's influence. Fox News has not independently authenticated those emails. New developments in France, where authorities say a teacher was decapitated in broad daylight. The suspect, who was shot and killed by police, was an 18-year-old Chechen. 9 other people are under arrest. The teacher was attacked after discussing caricatures of Islam's prophet Muhammad with his class. America's listening to Fox News.
Hi, I'm Dennis Miller, host of the podcast, The Dennis Miller Option, your source for opinions, stories, possibly, well, probably a few laughs.
Tell me where it went from the 20-minute mark to the 90-minute mark.
Who won the debate? Who lost the debate? You dropped out at 20 minutes? You won the debate, Dennis.
Join me and my crew each week as we give you our take on current pop culture, politics, and really anything that pops into our mind. Listen and subscribe to The Dennis Miller Option for free.
On Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
Of California continue to burn. The White House reverses course on wildfire relief.
President Trump had approved major disaster declarations for August wildfires in California, but had decided against approving the declarations for large fires that began in September, including the devastating Fresno area Creek Fire that forced National Guard rescues of hundreds of people. Governor Newsom tweeted Friday they were appealing the decision to deny the request, and hours later announced in a statement that he got off the phone with the president, who approved the request. Newsom said he was grateful for the quick response. In a statement, FEMA had said the declarations were denied because the September fires basically weren't severe enough to warrant them, that existing local, state, and federal resources had it covered. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
Erratic flames fueled by strong winds are challenging firefighters in Colorado as they take on the biggest wildfire in state history. Evacuations were issued Friday in Larimer County along a highway leading to Rocky Mountain National Park. The fire that started west of Fort Collins has consumed more than 260 square miles. By the millions, Americans are voting early.
Over 17 million Americans have already cast ballots in this 2020 election. That's about 12% of the votes that we cast in the 2016 election, and that's with 8 states not even reporting their numbers. At this pace, election experts are forecasting that some 150 million Americans will vote in this election. That would mean the voter turnout rate would be at its highest since 1908.
Fox's John Saucier. Fenway Park may have been closed to baseball fans this summer, but this weekend, the home of the Red Sox will be open to registered voters. The stadium is being used as an early voting venue for people who want to avoid indoor polling places because of the coronavirus pandemic. I'm Pam Husso, and this is Fox News.
Yeah. In Virginia, on 66 westbound approaching Route 50 Fair Oaks, there is an accident blocking several lanes. The left lane, left center lane, and right center lanes are closed with this crash activity. Stay to your right to get by and use extreme caution. Now, there is also still a work zone in place on westbound 66 between the Beltway and Nutley Street. Roadway is reduced to two lanes, so do watch out for some slowing there. Also, keep in mind that in Georgetown, Wisconsin Avenue is closed in Northwest between K Street and M Street in Northwest. That due to a water main break. Now from GarageJoyPair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Well, the sunshine returns today, mostly sunny skies. It'll still be on the cool side, temperatures in the 30s and 40s this morning. Very chilly, but highs in the lower 60s later this afternoon. As we head later on tonight, clear, chilly once again, lows in the 30s in the suburbs to low mid-40s in town. For your Sunday, a touch warmer, sunny skies, highs in the mid-60s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett at the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
What you doing?
Shopping for the holidays.
The what?
The holidays. Parties, client gifts, Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's why you're looking at the wine outlets.
Of course. Great wines, pre-made or custom gift baskets. It all helps keep my status as their favorite guest.
I'll bet it's a great way to be my client's favorite, too.
The Wine Outlets. Wine, beer, and great gift ideas. Three locations with free in-range delivery. Shop in-store, on our convenient app, or at thewineoutlets.com today.
For all your oriental rug cleaning needs, just one call to Joe Hadid.
We know you have a lot on your plate this holiday season, and a clean, healthy home has never been more important. So get a jump on the holidays with a deep-down professional clean for your rugs and carpets. Hadid now has a cleaning process for every kind of rug and every budget. So if it's been a little while since you got a quote from us, call back. Find out how much you can save. Plus, Joe Hadid has a new cleaning formula that is 100% effective on pet odors. There's also free pickup and delivery, and it's COVID safe. So if you're not home, you can leave your rugs out front. Whatever's more convenient for you. Right now, you can save 15% off any in-plant rug cleaning. That's 15% off. Some restrictions do apply. So get a jump on the holidays with a clean, healthy home. Call now or schedule a pickup online at JoeHadid.com. That's JoeHadid.com.
If you stand on it, we stand behind it.
Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton, and sometimes when I'm out and about, people will say, is it really true that you loved your Good Feet Art Support so much that you bought the store? Of course it is, I say. And I never dreamed that I would run marathons and continue to stay active without my feet getting in the way. When I bought the store in 2014, I would have never imagined that tens of thousands of customers would find relief from foot, knee, and back pain. The support of these loyal customers has allowed us to open new stores throughout Virginia, Maryland, and now North Carolina. I love to hear their stories of walking, running, and just enjoying their new life pain-free. Don't let foot, knee, or back pain keep you from living the life you love. Come into the Good Feet store for your free fitting and test walk and get your own Good Feet story. To find the store nearest you, go to goodfeet.com. The Good Feet store is located in Fairfax, Leesburg, and Rockville, Maryland.
I'm not up early for work. I'm awake for my favorite girl. This is the life I pictured after retiring from the federal government. I want to stay healthy for more days like this, so I picked an Aetna health plan that takes a total approach to my health. It's just for federal retirees. It fits my budget with low premiums and low out-of-pocket costs. I can even get help with some out-of-pocket expenses. I've got other things to spend my money on.
Grandpa!
To learn more or chat live online, visit aetnafeds.com/radio.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
105.9 FM, WMAL.
Good morning. It is the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Ballard. Jeff Wolf is behind the console. Jane Houghton, our producer this morning. And we are getting very close, just a little over 2 weeks until the election. And after a week off the road, President Trump making up for it. The president doing three rallies yesterday. He was in Ocala and Fort Myers, Florida, then on to Macon, Georgia. Joe Biden was in Michigan yesterday. Barack Obama plans to make his first appearance for Joe Biden on the road in Philadelphia next week. So if you didn't think it could get any hotter, things are heating up in the campaign. Now, You saw the town hall the other night. We've got some audio from that. You may have seen the Amy Barrett hearings this week on Capitol Hill. We have got audio coming up from that. But I wanted to start it off just to give you a sense of the energy that you are seeing from President Trump. Of course, he did the town hall, and we're going to get into the town hall in a big way. Some interesting observations about that we'll talk about in a little bit. But first off, just to give you a sense, yesterday the president starts in Ocala, Fort Myers, Florida, and then to Macon, Georgia. And I wanted to give you a sense of some of the energy and a little bit of the humor. This is in Fort Myers, President Trump speaking yesterday.
Because of advances in treatment we pioneered, and we have been in many treatments, but because of these great advances, we've reached the point where the fatality rate is reduced by 85% since April, and now it's up to probably 91%. Well, I'm here, I'll tell you.
President continued, and he was talking about coronavirus yesterday.
I'm moving heaven and earth to safeguard our seniors from the China virus, to deliver life-saving therapies in record time, and to distribute a safe and effective vaccine before the end of the year. And we're really doing it even sooner than that. You see what's going on. We have the vaccines getting ready to go. Seniors will be the first in line for the vaccine. And we will soon be ending this pandemic. We cannot allow unscientific, panic-driven, fear-based policies to deny our children and grandchildren their future and their dreams. We can't take a year or 2 years out of their life. There's a whole social thing going on there, too. These left-wing lockdowns will crush America, and my plan is very simple. We're going to crush the virus and go back to exactly where we were. We're almost getting back there now.
So that's the president speaking in Fort Myers, Florida, yesterday. Then he moved up the road to Macon, Georgia, and it was another raucous crowd. You know, he's doing all these at the airport. He's got Air Force One as the backdrop. And here's the president, and we'll let this run for a little bit because he's talking about the town hall the night before and then segues into Joe Biden.
Everybody thought it was so inappropriate. Here they give this guy softballs. Did you see a week ago Lester Holt, another genius. Lester Holt. Here's Mr. Vice President, sir. What did you have for dinner, sir? Was it good? And in Savannah, it was like her face, the anger, the craziness. The craziness last night. And I said goodbye. I said, great job, Savannah. You did wonderfully. Good job. But we got very high marks for that last night, but they thought it was very unfair that Sleepy Joe, who cannot answer a question, he really can't answer a question. Well, Chris Wallace protected him with me. I talked about the Moscow 3.5 million payment. I talked about the $1 billion. Chris Wallace wouldn't let he said, no, that's not appropriate. Why? You mean the guy's allowed to take $3.5 million and we're not allowed to talk to him about it? I'm telling you, that Biden family and others, but that Biden family is corrupt. It's a corrupt family. And with me and my kids, let me tell you, my kids, I'll tell you something, though, and it's very, lock them up. You should lock them up. Lock up the Bidens. Lock up Hillary. Lock them up.
We'll be hearing a lot more of that between now and Election Day. That's President Trump yesterday, and that was in Macon, Georgia, actually last night in Macon, Georgia. Now, he was talking about the town hall, and I want to get into some of the audio from the town hall. I'm not sure, if you had a chance to see it. If you did, which one did you watch? Because they were on simultaneously. And there's some chatter about the ratings. We'll get into that in a few minutes. But just to give you a sample of what the president was feeling and then facing, and then we'll get into what Joe Biden was dealing with. But first off, this is Savannah Guthrie. And as you may recall, President Trump denounced white supremacy in 2016.
when he made the comments about Charlottesville that the Democrats love to repeat, they always seem to forget that he denounced white supremacy in those remarks about Charlottesville, but they always seem to forget about that. Well, here's how the president addressed it with Savannah Guthrie.
We were supposed to, as mentioned, be watching you on a debate stage right now. We're not doing that, so let's clear up a few things from the last one. You were asked point blank to denounce white supremacy. In the moment, you didn't. You asked some follow-up questions. Who specifically? A couple of days later, on a different show, you denounced white supremacy.
No, you
My question to you is,
you've done this to
why
me
does
and everybody,
it seem like...
I denounced white supremacy, okay?
You did
I've 2 days
later.
I've denounced white supremacy for years. But you always do it. You always start off with the question. You didn't ask Joe Biden whether or not he denounces Antifa. I watched him on the same basic show with Lester Holt, and he was asking questions like Biden was a child.
And that went on.
Are you listening? I denounce white supremacy.
Okay.
What's your next question?
Do you feel, it feels sometimes you're hesitant to do so, like you
hesitant.
Wait a bit.
Here we go again. Every time, in fact, my people came, I'm sure they'll ask you the white supremacy question. I denounce white supremacy.
Okay.
And frankly, you want to know something? I denounce Antifa, and I denounce these people on the left that are burning down our cities.
And he kept going on that. Then there's all this talk about what will happen if the president loses the election. And he keeps getting questions about that left and right. And here's a clip about that from Savannah Guthrie and the president.
You have said repeatedly, the only way we lose this election is if it is rigged. Now, that is simply not true.
It was a fascinating contrast. If you watched the NBC town hall, I mean, you saw Savannah Guthrie, and she came out in an attack mode. And we've got 3 clips of Savannah interrupting President Trump. And, you know, Trump took so much heat in the Biden debate about interruptions. And we're just going to play these for you. There's 3 different samples of Savannah Guthrie and President Trump. It's cut H is the first one. And they're short clips, but you'll hear the president trying to answer a question, and she just cuts him off. I'm not sure why she cut him off. You figure it out.
Military ballots from our great military, and they're dumped in garbage cans.
That is a handful. We could go all night, which we won't.
No,
but
no,
we
it's
could
happening
go all
every day.
One by one.
And it happened again.
I want the money go to directly
to the
people.
Are Senate Republicans with you? They're going to go big?
They'll
for
go.
Big
yeah,
old
they'll
number?
Go. They'll go. They're going to be
okay,
very happy.
Okay, so far they have not
I
said
know,
they
because
would.
I haven't asked them to.
He's good. You just notice how he got that in there because I haven't asked him to. He's quick. Guy's very quick. And then he had one more, and just where she cuts him right off.
We will always protect people with pre-existing
but if
conditions.
If you're successful
and
in court
the thing,
in November, those pre-existing conditions, that promise
succeed,
will be gone.
So that gives you a bit of a sense of it. We got some more of the debate clips coming up, the debate between Savannah Guthrie and President Trump, and we'll also get into some of the Supreme Court audio. So a lot of interesting stuff coming up. And there's a lot of talk about the Hunter Biden computer, the emails on the computer. We're going to talk about that. We've got Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer covering that for us this morning a little bit later on. Jennifer Harper's got some interesting poll numbers. Hey, there are 2 marches on Washington today, 2 different women's organizations. One at one end of the mall, one at the other end of the mall. And Jennifer will give us a preview of what to expect there. We'll talk with John Gizzi, look at some of these races around the country, the Senate and congressional races. We're going to find out about that. We'll see if the Hunter Biden computer allegations will have any impact on the ultimate outcome of the campaign. We'll get a read from John Gizzi on that as well. KT McFarland's coming up as well later on this morning. We'll get her read on the campaign and what's next. So a lot to cover right here on the Saturday Morning Update, but time now at 6:19 for a check of the traffic and weather. Michelle Murray in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Fairfax County, watch out for the accident on westbound 66 approaching Route 50 Fair Oaks. Three lanes are blocked. Only the right lane is getting by at this time, so do watch out for delays. Earlier incident on Caton Hill Road between Telegraph Road and Minneville Road in Prince William County, though, has been cleared away. In the district, do keep in mind that Howard Road is closed in both directions between the Anacostia Freeway and South Capitol Street due to bridge construction work. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Well, the sunshine returns today, mostly sunny skies. It'll still be on the cool side, temperatures in the 30s and 40s this morning. Very chilly, but highs in the lower 60s later this afternoon. As we head later on tonight, clear, chilly once again, lows in the 30s in the suburbs to low mid-40s in town. For your Sunday, a touch warmer, sunny skies, highs in the mid-60s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
43 degrees in the nation's capital at 619.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. Instead of doing a monologue, I'd just like to let some of the folks speak for themselves. And these are hand-picked, hand-selected clips that sort of speak as a monologue for me this morning. And one of them I thought was very telling, and this is President Trump. And he was asked about the peaceful transfer question, and wow, here it goes.
All you have to do is pick up the papers every day. 50,000 in Ohio, the great state of Ohio. 50,000 in another location, I think North Carolina. 500,000 applications in Virginia. No, no, there's a tremendous problem. But let me just tell you, they talk about the peaceful transfer, right? They spied on my campaign and they got caught. And they spied heavily on my campaign, and they tried to take down a duly elected sitting president. And then they talk about, will you accept a peaceful transfer? And the answer is, yes, I will. But I want it to be an honest election, and so does everybody else.
So that's President Trump addressing that question. Now let's move over to the softball game. And again, the tone of George Stephanopoulos versus Savannah Guthrie. I mean, everybody's been talking about it. There's no question about the difference in how each of the candidates was treated. George Stephanopoulos tried to get Joe Biden to talk about the court packing issue. And here comes another dodge.
What I wanted to do, George, you know, if I had answered the question directly, then all the focus would be on what's Biden going to do if he wins, instead of on, is it appropriate what is going on now? And it should stay. This is the thing that the president loves to do. Always take our eye off the ball. What's at stake?
Nice try in dodging it, but they continued.
One of the things Pete has suggested is, and there's a number of constitutional scholars have suggested as well, that there are at least four or five options that are available to determine whether or not you can change the way in which the court lifetime appointment takes place, consistent, arguably, with the Constitution. I have not been a fan of court packing because I think it just generates what will happen. Whoever wins, it just keeps moving in a way that is inconsistent with what is going to be manageable.
So you're still not a fan?
Well, I'm not a fan. I then say it depends on how this turns out.
And there was one more follow-up on that question.
If they vote out before the election, you are open to expanding the court?
I'm open to considering what happens from that point on.
So that's a little bit of an example of what was going on with George Stephanopoulos and Joe Biden in the Biden town hall. Now, something I want to point out, because this has been a story that's been floating around in primarily in the media circles. And, you know, it's not a huge national story when it comes to most voters and people. But there's this talk about the ratings and that Joe Biden got higher ratings than President Trump. And Brian Stelter over at CNN, at quote-unquote reliable sources, here's how he summed it up. Joe Biden's town hall averaged 14.1 million viewers on Thursday night, easily surpassing the Nielsen ratings for President Trump's town hall on NBC. All right, so he's taken the ABC number of 14.1 million viewers and comparing it to NBC. Well, NBC, the number he's comparing is the NBC broadcast network.
in that claim, easily surpassing the Nielsen ratings for President Trump, in that claim of Brian's, he neglected to point out in that paragraph that Trump was also on MSNBC, picking up another 1.8 million viewers, and on CNBC, another 720,000 viewers. He points that out several graphs later, but that's after the sweeping summary and the opening sentences of an easy defeat. So if you look at it after you tally up the three different NBC outlets that President Trump is on, he's got 13.5 million in the audience, and Biden had 14.1 on ABC. But what Brian doesn't factor into his story or mention is this in the story in terms of the ratings is that Biden was on for 90 minutes. Trump was only on for 60 minutes. Had Trump been on for the extra 30 minutes at the same rate of viewership, he would have easily beaten Joe Biden in the ratings. So it's always a matter of looking at the context, looking at all the details. Again, they're taking Joe Biden's 90-minute numbers and comparing them to President Trump's 60-minute numbers. Who do you think is going to have more ratings? Somebody that's on for an hour and a half or somebody that's on for an hour? Pretty straightforward stuff. Also, if you watched the Biden town hall, I was keeping notes on this, and this is scribbled. But, you know, it opened up, and Biden went for 20 minutes, and then they took a four-minute commercial break. And then Biden went for 15 minutes. He took another four-minute commercial break. Biden went for 12 minutes, and they took another four-minute commercial break. Then Biden went for 7 minutes, and they took another four-minute commercial break. Biden went for another 7 minutes and took a four-minute commercial break. Then they went for 4 minutes and took another four-minute commercial break. And finally, to close it out, a three-minute segment. So if you notice, when he got into the 9 o'clock hour, after he's at it for an hour, he gets a break. He gets as many breaks almost as he gets in terms of content. I mean, it was so commercial heavy. And, you know, I'm coming up with my own conspiracy theory. Did they set this up because Joe might be getting a little fatigued after the first hour? So let's give him a four-minute break every 7 minutes and then give him a four-minute break every 4 minutes. What was that about? Or was that just, instead of court packing, was that commercial packing? So after it was all over, my sense was the winner in each of these town halls was the network and the revenue, packing it with commercials. 627, Saturday Morning Update, WMAL.
Shopping for appliances? You'd think there'd be a better way to get the answers and attention you need. And you'd be right. Shopping at Brand Scarf beats shopping at the big box stores. Bray and Scarf is scheduling one-on-one appointments, which might be the best hour you've ever spent appliance shopping. It's a VIP experience with a Bray and Scarf factory-trained appliance expert, answering every one of your questions and helping you navigate today's appliance shopping environment. Our commitment to service matters now more than ever because COVID has created unprecedented appliance shortages nationwide. Talk to a Bray and Scarf expert about the popular brands you love, including GE Profile, Cafe, and Monogram. With live video shopping sessions from the comfort of your home, answers to all your questions by phone, chat, or text, and now one-on-one appointments, we offer more ways than ever to shop safely and shop local. Get the undivided attention you need, especially now. It's easy. Start by scheduling your one-on-one appointment at BrayandScarf.com, where it doesn't cost more to get more.
Is your will updated? And do you have a good basic estate plan in place so your family is protected, just in case? Listen this Saturday morning at 9 on WMAL to Legally Speaking, where attorney Mike Collins will answer any question you may have about wills or estate planning. That's Legally Speaking, Saturday at 9. To learn more, log on to WMAL.com and search Legally Speaking. That's WMAL.com. Search Legally Speaking.
I once got hacked on a dating site.
Sounds like you need Cox Internet with panoramic Wi-Fi advanced security.
My neighbor Ron is always on my Wi-Fi.
No worries. With real-time alerts from Cox, your network is invite only.
Take that, Ron.
I think I just clicked on a suspicious link.
Relax. Your devices are protected with Cox Internet and Panoramic Wi-Fi Advanced Security. Learn more at cox.com.
Not all services and features available everywhere. Restrictions apply.
My favorite morning routine is stabbing myself in the eyes when putting my contacts in.
Oh my God, I was so pumped up today when my toddler stepped on my glasses, snapped them right in two. Awesome.
I finally got it down. Put my mask on, breathe, wipe my glasses off. Doesn't that sound great for the next 8 hours?
At LASIK Plus, we help free patients from the hassles of glasses and contacts so they can live life the way they want. Plus, act now and you can get $1,000 off LASIK, saving big on getting sight today. Our team has performed over 2 million procedures and treat every patient with the individualized care they deserve. Call LASIK Plus today at 844-337-2020 to schedule your free LASIK consultation. And remember our $1,000 off special when you're treated by the end of October. Get rid of your hassles and save today. That's 844-337-2020 or LASIK1000.com. $1,000 discount applies to Wavelight procedure with lifetime plan. Must mention this ad at center and be treated in October 2020 to qualify. Results may vary. See details at LASIK1000.com.
You know, we're talking a lot about what's going on in the campaign, and let's change it up a little bit. Let's do some entertainment news. Let's get away from politics and do some entertainment news. You ready? Bruce Springsteen has chimed in, and he says that if Trump wins the election, he would consider moving to Australia. I told you I was going to get away from politics, right? That's right. Bruce Springsteen, he had a recent online roundtable with the Australian press. He admitted if the outcome of the election will bring about another 4 years of Trump, he would consider moving to Australia. Now, keep in mind, Bruce Springsteen is hawking a new album that is coming out. He's got a single out now. The album comes out later. He told reporters on the video chat, quote, "I love Australia. Every time we have nothing but good times down there. It's always a treat to come. Love the people. Love the geography. Great place for motorcycle trips. It's close to our hearts. Let's pander to the Australians so they buy his album." He says, quote, "If Trump is reelected, which will not be, I am predicting right now he's going to lose. If by some happenstance he should be, I will see you on the next plane." That's the words of Bruce Springsteen. Well, how about our buddy Tommy Lee of Motley Crue? Well, guess what? Tommy's got a new album out, too. So what does he say? Well, if Trump is reelected, quote, "Dude, I swear to God, if that happens, then I'm coming over to visit the UK. I'm out of here. I'll go back to my motherland, go back to Greece, and get a house on one of the islands." Two albums there that I probably would have purchased prior to those comments. It's 6:32. This is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Virginia, in Fairfax County, the accident on westbound 66 approaching Route 50 Fair Oaks has been cleared. You should now find your lanes open. Now, you will find some road work in Falls Church eastbound between Washington Boulevard and Fairfax Drive, and that is blocking the right lane, so far not causing any delays. Do keep in mind that there are parking restrictions in effect in the district due to the Women's March, and that includes 14th Street between Pennsylvania Avenue and F Street and 13th Street between Pennsylvania Avenue and F Street. No parking is allowed until about 6 o'clock this evening. Now from GarageDoryPair.com. The WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Well, the sunshine returns today, mostly sunny skies. It'll still be on the cool side, temperatures in the 30s and 40s this morning. Very chilly, but highs in the lower 60s later this afternoon. As we head later on tonight, clear, chilly once again, lows in the 30s in the suburbs to low mid-40s in town. For your Sunday, a touch warmer, sunny skies, highs in the mid-60s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
43 degrees, 6:33 on the Saturday Morning Update.
Based on the recent stock market slide, do you feel your money and investments are safe? Would a repeat of the market losses you experienced earlier in the year or in 2002 and 2008 derail your family's retirement plans? It's time to make a U-turn on your retirement strategy. This Saturday at 5 p.m., tune in to the U-Turn Equity Financial Hour with Tucker and Blake. They'll cover these financial topics and, more importantly, share little-known strategies to keep your money safe and discuss tax-free income. Join the conversation Saturday at 5 on WMAL.
Thank you for being with us on the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. We're just a little over 2 weeks away from the election. We're joined by Jennifer Harper. She writes inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
And we've seen the controversy about Facebook and Twitter and censorship. You've got data on Facebook and Twitter and how some of those folks might feel there.
Yeah, well, in kind of review of what you're talking about, everybody probably in the whole known universe knows that Twitter and Facebook decided to reduce the distribution of that really bombshell New York Post report about Hunter Biden. And, the two big social media giants, they justified their action by citing their own internal regulations or directives. But we've got some strong reaction out there, and I'll just share a little bit with our listeners and you this morning. And this is coming from Dan Gaynor. He is vice president of TechWatch. And this is a project that's maintained by the Media Research Center, our old friends there, a conservative press watchdog. And Dan has this to say, conservatives have been complaining about big tech bias for years, and the companies and the news media have denied it. Well, there's no denying it now. He says Twitter and Facebook are involved in a conspiracy to fix the presidential election. Twitter's bizarre defense claimed it was restricting content obtained through hacking, but it set no such limits on stories about Trump's tax returns. That's a very good point from Mr. Gaynor. And also we'll refer back to the Media Research Center because they have done a little study. They went over to Open Secrets. Now, Open Secrets is an independent nonprofit which very accurately tracks the federal campaign donations and lobbying data that's out there. This is coming from an analyst named Joseph Vasquez, and this is what he has to say. Open Secrets records revealed that for all federal candidates, both Facebook and Twitter gave over 90% of their political contributions to Democrats for the 2020 cycle so far. The combined multi-million dollar total of both platforms was split among individual employee donations and PAC money. The top recipient for both organizations was none other than Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden. There is clearly no doubt where these gargantuan tech companies stand politically. And this is coming from Joseph Vasquez with Media Research Center. And he did the numbers for us. For Twitter, they gave $347,270 to Democrats and $3,556 for Republicans. Facebook contributed $2,409,464 to Democrats and $218,575 to Republicans. So if you ever had any doubt about where they kind of fall in the partisan world, that's where.
Marches are pretty routine in Washington. We're used to them. But today we have two women's marches at opposite ends of the mall and opposite ends of the spectrum?
Let's talk about these two marches. The first one is called the March for All Women. This is going to take place on the steps of the U.S. Supreme Court later on today, and the theme is, I'm with her. But the her, in this case, Rick, is not Hillary Clinton. You recall that she used that phrase in her 2016 campaign. The her this time is Judge Amy Coney Barrett, as she's waiting out her nomination there to the highest court in the land. This has been organized by the Conservative Independent Women's Forum. And some of the folks that are going to be along, you may know who they are. This is Fox News contributor Sarah Carter, Tea Party Patriots co-founder Jenny Beth Martin, and Jessica Anderson. She's executive director of Heritage Action. That's the activist arm of the Heritage Foundation. Also, Heather Higgins, she's the CEO of the Independent Women's Voice. And also Tammy Bruce, you may know her. She's a columnist. Actually, her work appears in the Washington Times. She's also a talk radio host. She says, we should be able to all stand up and say that this accomplished, impressive woman, that is Amy Coney Barrett, deserves to be treated with respect. That's coming from Tammy Bruce. She said, yet the so-called women's movement is standing by while the mainstream media questions if Ms. Barrett can be a Supreme Court justice and a good mother, in addition to vilifying her for her background and her faith. Again, that's Tammy Bruce talking there. But at the opposite end of the mall, at the exact same time, there's going to be another Women's March. You recall the Women's March of years ago where they drew a million progressive ladies down on the mall. That was in 2018. They are also planning an afternoon rally and a march down the mall in that area, and it's called the Count on Us event. And they're going to start at Freedom Plaza, not far from the White House, and, of course, Trump's hotel down there. And after they get down to the mall, they're going to have a mass texting effort about their cause. They expect to send out 5 million texts. And they also have 400 other marchers that are taking place in 50 other states. This is what they have to say. We need a huge and powerful mobilization to help energize the nation and inspire millions to turn out to vote and to cap off Trump's presidency just the way it started with massive women-led resistance. So you've got two marches down there, one conservative, one definitely progressive and feminist. If you're curious about the conservative one, March for All Women, simply go to marchforallwomen.com. If you're curious about the others, it's womensmarch.com. So that's what's going on downtown today.
Remind me to silence the texts on my cell phone tomorrow afternoon. Well, the stock market's been fairly calm this past week, and the big question, obviously, is what's going to happen to the markets as we head to Election Day, and what happens the day after the vote's decided, and what are you sensing in terms of how American investors are feeling? And these are people all over the country.
Well, always in the morning, I have a poll for you, and this is a real dilly. I really like this because this is all about money and optimism and so forth and so on. And here's what it found. American investors are very quietly reaffirming that President Trump is still perceived as a positive driving force behind a healthy stock market and a thriving economy. Here's what this poll is from investing.com. They say over 90% of U.S. investors were not concerned by the president's coronavirus diagnosis and saw no need to react or change course on their investments. Furthermore, 20% of these investors are more bullish with the president now recovered from the virus. This is coming from Jesse Cohen. He is a senior analyst with investing.com. This is a pretty interesting site if you've never been there. I don't know anything about stocks, but I wasn't even interested. But moving right along, the organization, they surveyed U.S.-based investors on October 5th to reveal that 60% of them have no plans to change their investments ahead of Election Day. And here's where Trump and Biden come in. This is, again, coming from Jesse Cohen. He says, investors were also in agreement that a Trump victory would provide the better outcome for U.S. financial markets, with 65% of respondents believing this to be the case, and just 16% seeing former Vice President Joe Biden as a better outcome for the markets. And they go on to say that after all of the quake in the stock market following the president's experience with COVID, they said that most of that, when they realized it was not a life-threatening situation, it kind of jumped back. All of the confidence in the president jumped back again. So, again, that's a poll coming from investing.com, and pretty good news for the president, I thought.
You know, it's been a fascinating 4 years of hand-to-hand combat on Capitol Hill. And as if one congressman hasn't had enough dealing with the other party, he's taken on royalty. What's this one about?
This is a great little story for a Saturday anyway, because we've got a Republican lawmaker in the Show Me State, and he's just about had it with royal influence that's kind of percolating around the presidential election in the final weeks that we've got here. This is coming from Representative Jason Smith of Missouri. And here's what he has to say. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are using foreign titles to campaign against President Trump and interfere with our election. Today, I asked the British government to put a stop to it. And indeed, Mr. Smith has sent a letter to Dame Karen Pierce. She's the British ambassador to the United States. And what's happened here is that there is a TV spot out there featuring the royal couple, Harry and Meghan, and they are urging Americans to register to vote and also to, quote, reject hate speech misinformation and online negativity. And this did not appeal very much to Mr. Smith. Here's what he has to say. He says that the political opinions of the Duchess of Sussex are, quote, thinly disguised, and that he felt that the action, quote, represents a serious breach of the British royal family's policy of political neutrality and an inappropriate act of domestic interference by one of our closest allies. Anyway, he sent a letter over to the British embassy on October 9th, and he is suggesting that the British government ensure that this commentary stops or that the royals should have their titles and their privileges taken away from them. So that's the latest from the Show Me State and Representative Jason Smith.
In prior elections, the role of the third party has sometimes had a significant impact on the outcome. How's it looking this year? Because typically there's a libertarian running.
Yes, indeed. We do have a libertarian running here, and we have to cite veteran pollster John Zogby this week. He's been around for quite some time, a smart guy, and he has been very fierce, pointing out that he doesn't like to conduct a poll about who people are going to vote on without including third-party or lesser-known candidates in that poll. And this week he went into the libertarian world, and if you do not know, the libertarian presidential hopeful is Jo Jorgensen. And she is got a PhD in psychology. She's a full-time lecturer at Clemson University. And she's running with a gentleman named Spike Cohen, actually Jeremy Spike Cohen. And he's
Spike?
A web designer, a media entrepreneur. And anyway, they are running on the libertarian ticket together. And again, Mr. Zogby's very fierce about making sure the libertarians get included in all of this. And this is what Mr. Zogby said. And a lot of people were very impressed with this. Zogby Analytics will always include third parties in our polls. It's a shame when you have a respected, intelligent woman as a party nominee, meaning Ms. Jorgensen, and the mainstream media is pretending she doesn't exist. Now who is sexist? This is Mr. Zogby talking. Don't give us that business that voting for a third party is a vote for Trump or Biden. So if you don't fall in line with a duopoly, you don't have a voice. That's not what the founders of a Republican, of our Republican and Constitution ever intended to happen. This is Mr. Zogby talking. Everyone has a voice. Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, Greens, and et cetera. The presidential race is close, and it is far better representation when you include the third parties. And this is his example of that. He did conduct a recent poll of who's in the lead, and according to that poll, Joe Biden's got 45%, President Trump's got 44%, Libertarian Joe Jorgensen landed 4.5%, and Green Party hopeful Howie Hawkins got 1.5%. And his point was that those numbers would have been a lot different and possibly favoring Mr. Biden if he hadn't included the third party. So it's just an interesting little wrinkle in our gigantic political crazy quilt that we have, Rick. How about that?
Well, President Trump caused a firestorm when he said, don't be afraid of the coronavirus. And I think we've all had our opinions of how the media has treated it. And there's a book out on it?
Well, actually, a book has come out this week about it. It's a significant book, and it's coming from Dr. Mark Siegel. You might recognize him from Fox News. He makes regular commentary for the network, but he also happens to be a clinical professor of medicine at New York University's Grossman School of Medicine, and he knows his stuff. Anyway, he has a new book out this week called COVID-19, The Politics of Fear and the Power of Science. He's got a very clear message. Dr. Siegel believes that their manipulative forces have co-opted the coronavirus and is stealing the nation's peace of mind, but for a political game. Here's what he writes. He says, an attempt to put this pandemic in proper medical context was immediately overcome by politics, and he cites all of the partisan infighting, the apocalyptic headlines, the riots, the protests, fear-mongering, lockdowns, all of that kind of stuff, which has interfered with various forms of everyday life. You know, everything's been uprooted. But anyway, I did get a quote from him, and this is what he told me. The virus is dangerous. The virus provokes fear out of proportion to the risk. This fear is its own corrosive disease and causes us to jump to quick answers, often over-politicized by a media hoping for ratings and politicians anxious to control us. This fear leads to dogma and distrust, premature judgment, hypocrisy, and pseudoscience. This is coming from Dr. Mark Siegel again. The solution? Trust science, which has been proceeding at an incredible rate, both in terms of understanding the virus and treating it and vaccinating against it. And he has one more doctor's order. He says, exercise kindness to others and courage. These emotions are processed by the same brain centers which process fear. So advice from the doctor, and thought-provoking, too, about whether the fear is being co-opted by the media.
Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times, as always. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, Rick. Have a good day, everybody.
6:50 Saturday morning update. Time for a check of the traffic and weather. And Michelle Murray is in the WMAL Traffic Center.
So far, traffic is moving well this morning on the Beltway throughout Maryland and Virginia. The earlier accident in Virginia on westbound 66 at Route 50 Fair Oaks, all cleared away. Everything has been reopened there. Now, do keep in mind that if you're traveling in the Georgetown area, Wisconsin Avenue is still closed in northwest between K Street and M Street due to a water main break. And this will be closed for quite some time, at least till the end of the day. This is also affecting M Street. The eastbound lanes are closed between Potomac Street and Wisconsin Avenue. One lane gets by in each direction in the westbound lanes. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Well, the sunshine returns today. Mostly sunny skies. It'll still be on the cool side. Temperatures in the 30s and 40s this morning. Very chilly, but highs in the lower 60s later this afternoon. As we head later on tonight, clear, chilly once again. Lows in the 30s in the suburbs to low mid-40s in town. For your Sunday, a touch warmer. Sunny skies, highs in the mid-60s. I'm ABC7 meteorologist Alex Liggett, the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
43 degrees at 6:51 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
And it is the Saturday morning update, and the story continues to grow about a laptop computer that was left at a computer repair shop in Wilmington, Delaware, in April of 2019. It's appearing, if the story is true, it appears that it was Hunter Biden's laptop. Again, if the story ultimately proves to be true. Now, the owner of the computer repair shop said that the person who dropped it off didn't come back. So after 90 days, it basically becomes the property of the computer store owner. So he was going through the laptop. Didn't know initially if, in fact, it was Hunter that dropped it off, because he is visually impaired, and he says he can't be 100% sure it was Hunter Biden who dropped it off. But this, again, was April of 2019. Well, he found emails on the computer. He found images and texts on the computer, which he found to be very troubling. So he contacted the FBI out of concern. And a lot of questions now are being asked about how the FBI handled it, and Republican senators want to find out. According to the computer store owner's account, the FBI made a forensic copy of the laptop, then returned later with a subpoena and confiscated it, but then he stopped hearing from the FBI. So he contacted several members of Congress who didn't respond. At that point, his intermediary reached out to Rudy Giuliani's attorney, and that's how we got where we are. Well, nobody brought it up in the town hall with Joe Biden on Thursday night. Wouldn't you have thought maybe George Stephanopoulos would have lobbed him a little softball so that Joe could have beaten the story down? Well, finally, a CBS reporter confronted Joe Biden last night and asked him about it. Now, this is not a Fox News reporter. It's not Ducey, who's been out there the whole time. No. It is Bo Erickson from CBS asks Vice President Biden about it. And here's what Vice President Biden said.
I know you'd ask it. I have no response. It's another smear campaign. It's right up your alley. They're the questions you always ask.
So you heard that. I have no response. It's another smear campaign. Well, we'll see how far this goes, and we'll see how long Vice President Biden can get away with that response. 6:54 Saturday morning update on WMAL.
Hey, it's Larry O'Connor from my friends at New Look Home Design. Listen, do you know the hardest part of completing a home improvement project is finding someone to do it? Imagine if the hardest part of grocery shopping was finding a store that had food. That's crazy. At New Look Home Design, their goal is to make getting a new roof easy. They install one roof every hour, so you know they have the experience necessary. And they offer TPT, total price transparency. They give line-by-line pricing, detailed measurements, and a 3D image of your roof so you know exactly what you're paying for. Find out why over 40,000 homeowners have trusted New Look. Right now, save 50% on all roofing materials, plus qualify for interest-free financing until 2022. Don't you wish everything in life could be as easy as getting a New Look roof? Call 1-800-279-5300 or visit newlookhomedesign.com for a free, no-obligation estimate. That's 1-800-279-5300, newlookhomedesign.com.
I'm not up early for work. I'm awake for my favorite girl. This is the life I pictured after retiring from the federal government. I want to stay healthy for more days like this, so I picked an Aetna health plan that takes a total approach to my health. It's just for federal retirees. It fits my budget with low premiums and low out-of-pocket costs. I can even get help with some out-of-pocket expenses. I've got other things to spend my money on.
Grandpa!
To learn more or chat live online, visit aetnafeds.com/radio.
Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton, and sometimes when I'm out and about, people will say, is it really true that you loved your Good Feet Arch Support so much that you bought the store? Of course it is, I say. And I never dreamed that I would run marathons and continue to stay active without my feet getting in the way. When I bought the store in 2014, I would have never imagined that tens of thousands of customers would find relief from foot, knee, and back pain. The support of these loyal customers has allowed us to open new stores throughout Virginia, Maryland, and now North Carolina. I love to hear their stories of walking, running, and just enjoying their new life pain-free. Don't let foot, knee, or back pain keep you from living the life you love. Come into the Good Feet store for your free fitting and test walk and get your own Good Feet story. To find the store nearest you, go to goodfeet.com. The Good Feet store is located in Fairfax, Leesburg, and Rockville, Maryland.
My favorite morning routine is stabbing myself in the eyes when putting my contacts in.
Oh my God, I was so pumped up today when my toddler stepped on my glasses, snapped them right in two. Awesome.
I finally got it down. Put my mask on, breathe, wipe my glasses off. Doesn't that sound great for the next 8 hours?
At LASIK Plus, we help free patients from the hassles of glasses and contacts so they can live life the way they want. Plus, act now and you can get $1,000 off LASIK, saving big on getting sight today. Our team has performed over 2 million procedures and treat every patient with the individualized care they deserve. Call LASIK Plus today at 844-337-2020 to schedule your free LASIK consultation. And remember our $1,000 off special when you're treated by the end of October. Get rid of your hassles and save today. That's 844-337-2020 or LASIK1000.com. $1,000 discount applies to Wavelight procedure with lifetime plan. Must mention this ad at center and be treated in October 2020 to qualify. Results may vary. See details at LASIK1000.com.
Hi, this is Eric Stewart. If you've been playing with the idea of selling your home or maybe downsizing, well, tune in to my show Sunday mornings right here at 8 a.m. There I'll bring you this week's local real estate news and what you need to do to get top dollar for your property. With over 30 years of experience and the backing of Long & Foster, one of the top real estate companies, I've pretty much seen and sold it all. To learn more, check us out on the web at ericstewartgroup.com.
Shopping for appliances? You'd think there'd be a better way to get the answers and attention you need. And you'd be right. Shopping at Brand Scarf beats shopping at the big box stores. Bray & Scarf is scheduling one-on-one appointments, which might be the best hour you've ever spent appliance shopping. It's a VIP experience with a Bray & Scarf factory-trained appliance expert, answering every one of your questions and helping you navigate today's appliance shopping environment. Our commitment to service matters now more than ever because COVID has created unprecedented appliance shortages nationwide. Talk to a brand scarf expert about the popular brands you love, including KitchenAid, JennAir, and Whirlpool. With live video shopping sessions from the comfort of your home, answers to all your questions by phone, chat, or text, and now one-on-one appointments, we offer more ways than ever to shop safely and shop local. Get the undivided attention you need, especially now. It's easy. Start by scheduling your one-on-one appointment at brandscarf.com, where it doesn't cost more to get more.
So what's going on in the Senate and House races? We'll check in with John Gizzi on that right after the 7 o'clock news. We've also got KT McFarland, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer coming up. So stay with us. Maria Leaf has the 7 o'clock news next on WMAL.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.